If you are a marketing enthusiast and you wish to learn the tricks up the sleeves of seasoned marketeers, you are at the right place. I am your host, Nishant Goyal, and this is the Marketing Chakravyuh podcast. Today, we have with us international sales expert, consultant, and trainer, Jason Cutter. He is the host of Authentic Persuasion Show and also the author of Selling with Authentic Persuasion book. This guy literally swam with the sharks. Yes, he was a marine biologist before he got into sales. And so it is going to be an interesting conversation around sales and marketing. So let's get started.
Welcome, Jason.
Thanks for having me, Nishant.
I'm really glad I got the chance to meet you once again.
Yeah, I'm excited to be a part of this venture for you for marketing.
So, Jason, since we are talking about marketing, how would you define marketing? What's your thoughts on marketing? How do you understand marketing?
So for me, my background is coming from the sales side. So being a salesperson, sales leader. And for me, marketing is about awareness for the people you want to speak with in some kind of, you know, process where you want to help them engage with you or sell them something or persuade them to do something. So marketing is not just about selling a product or service. Marketing could lead to persuading somebody to take your side in an argument or a stance or political or environmental. You know, that's all marketing and then all sales. For me, marketing is starting that conversation with the people that you want to talk to. And then it's moving that conversation forward to some kind of end point where then it becomes either a conversation with a person, you know, it's over the phone or in person, or it's leading them to a website and then some kind of action is to be taken.
So that's actually something very practical. And I'm curious then, how did you get into marketing? Was it your first choice right out of school or college? Or university, or did you grew interest in the field and then switch professions to marketing?
For me, I would say marketing has always been the tool when I have been running sales teams and sales organizations. So definitely not something I want to do. I didn't want to be in sales either, such that my bachelor's degree is in marine biology and I tagged sharks for years because I would rather deal with, you know, sharks than people. And then I ended up in a sales role, which is what happens to a lot of people. And then when I became a sales leader years later, running a team, then the goal was to help the team have good conversations, keep them busy, and then became a marketer and a sales leader at the same time. So for me, you know, joining those two together is different than a lot of people because usually what happens is somebody's either a marketer or a sales leader, but not both. And so usually there's this like, you know, this war going on between them. You know, marketers want to produce this branding, this messaging, this momentum, this, you know, person that's moving forward in their marketing funnel, if you will. And then sales is supposed to close it. So for me, you know, marketing was then a tool. And I come from a place of very different marketing, which is, you know, performance-based marketing strategies, not just branding. So branding to me is when it's, okay, so I have this brand and I want you to be aware of it, whether it's billboards or signs on a bus or ads on TV or online, and I want you to be aware of it. And then when you see it, like when I go to the store, I'm thinking about that brand and then I'm going to pick that brand out of everything on the shelf, right? Or I'm going to think of that Nike as a brand. And then when I go to the store, I'm going to buy Nike shoes. And so for me, though, it's always been performance-based marketing, which is I'm going to send targeted messages to you or targeted things to you because I think you could be a good qualified prospect and I want to move you forward into a conversation.
Okay. So how is performance-based marketing different from sales and how is it different from traditional marketing?
So performance-based is very strategic. If you think about it, at least here in the States, it would be the direct mail letter, right? So sending someone a letter as a company. And in that letter, it says, do you have a problem with this? If you do, call us, right? Problem with your car or with your house or with your, you know, health or whatever it might be. And so that is performance-based, that's targeted marketing, where it's like, I'm sending this to you. For some reason, I think you could be a good customer, either where you live or data that I got that says you have this kind of car and I fix this kind of car. And so I'm going to send you this letter. And so performance marketing is doing that very strategic with a very direct call to action, which is call us or engage with us. So it's very, very linear, very like you have this problem, I have this solution. Now let's move you forward. Traditional marketing, that just depends on what you want to define as traditional marketing. But usually what happens on a different scale, and let's say old school, especially before what's available now, is that it was very, very much a blanket, very much, mass shotgun approach, which is I'm going to run ads on TV and then I'm hoping the right people are watching at the right moment. Or I'm going to put this banner on this website and I'm hoping the right person will see that one banner, which is why the conversion is much less into action. But anybody who does take action from that is going to be more applicable. And traditional marketing is more like, you know, like let's say a fast food or a restaurant where it's like, okay, here's this ad. And it's like, okay, what's the chances that the right person sees it? And then next time they're hungry, that they're going to pick my restaurant or my fast food place. And so that's really the difference. And it's not right or wrong. It just depends on the strategy, short-term and long-term.
Okay. So performance-based marketing is a long-term strategy or is it a short-term strategy?
It's usually more short-term specific, and then it's also way more measurable in the short term, which is, you know, for example, I send out these 10,000 letters, I should get this many phone calls in a matter of weeks. If I don't get this many phone calls, it failed, I need to adjust it, change the words, change the audience, buy a different list, right? Same thing with ads. I can run a Facebook ad today, and then by this afternoon, I can see if that's working or not based on how many people are clicking, potentially how many new customers I have, right? Like if you set up a Shopify store and you're trying to sell something, you can literally run ads. And within a couple of days, you know if you need to tweak your ads and change things and then keep refining it. So it's very short term. Traditional marketing, brand marketing is a long-term strategy. That's a, I'm going to have to blanket the world and hit the world with my messages for a while. And then it's going to become second nature. Think of Coca-Cola, think of McDonald's, think of Nike, where it's like, okay, you just think of that because it's just been there forever.
Yeah, true. And from what I understand, since your expertise lies in sales or selling, then I believe short-term marketing or short-term strategies are your forte, or do you believe in a collaboration of both, that both are really important and you cannot rely on one?
It really just depends. I think you have to have a combination, because part of it is realizing that as much as you want to have a short-term performance marketing strategy and you want people to take action now, right? Click on your ad or fill out your form, whatever that is that not everyone is going to be ready right now and not everyone is going to take action right now. So generally what happens is you have a combination of both, which is I have short-term success metrics for my performance marketing. And I know that I've got to do it long-term and I've got to continue to drip and send messages or post things to get the longer tail of people who need to see it a bunch of times, right? Like there's people out there where they see one ad or they see one piece of marketing and they're like, I need to get that. I need to buy that right now. Those people, like either they have a problem that you're solving or they're early adopters and they always like new things, right? They see one ad for the latest cell phone. They're like, oh my gosh, I've got to have that. I'm going to go wait in line tomorrow to get it, right? And then there's people who need to see that ad 10 times and potentially have their friend buy the phone. And so you've got to do both, right? So sending one letter or running one Facebook ad once, you'll catch some of the people. But the problem is you're missing more. So you've got to do both. So you've got to do something where you're expecting short term, and then you've got to keep running it for the awareness and the trust where someone says, okay, now I've seen this ad enough times. I trust this is legit.
Okay. So, yeah. So I was asking, what, as you have experienced a lot in the field of marketing and specifically sales, when you moved from dealing with sharks to dealing with people, must have been scary. I can understand.
Yep.
So what are your learnings that you would say, okay, these are the five biggest things I learned in the field of sales till now in your, in the career you have had?
So if we're talking about sales and marketing, I think one of the biggest things is, and this goes with any marketing, is you've got to know the problem that you solve for the right people. Now, sometimes you might think, okay, well, I'm selling cell phones or whatever that is. It might be, you know, Nike shoes. Like, what problem does that solve? Because, you know, people don't need to buy a fancy new phone or fancy shoes. So the problem might not be just like a problem. Like, it's not like you're broken and then you need to be fixed, right? Or your car is broken, easy to fix. Sometimes it's just ego. Sometimes it's fitting in. Sometimes it's not wanting to be left out, right? FOMO, fear of missing out. And so you've got to always figure out what it is that you're solving and realize that there's different avatars, as they're called, or personas that you're going to be addressing. So again, there's the early adopters, and then there's the middle, and then there's the late. You've got to know who you're wanting to get right now. Where are you at in your life cycle of your business? Because if nobody knows who you are, you're going to want the early adopters. If you want the early adopters, what do they want the most? Maybe they don't want to be left out. They're fear of missing out. So your advertisements want to go towards, your marketing wants to point at, you know, what they could be missing out, or how they will be really cool and everyone will be jealous if they have the latest such and such. And so that's a couple of the biggest things. Is one is you got to know the problem you solve, who are you going after in that scale of early adopter to late adopter. And then the key is then put together that message with a strong call to action, if it's performance-based or whatever that might be for you. And then part of the key is knowing how to find them. So who is that? And then what is their makeup, right? Like their age, demographic data, psychographic data, all of that. And then you have to send the message. And then what you have to do, the last part is the metrics. And you've got to understand what your key performance indicators, your KPIs are of the metrics. And then when you should expect results. And then when you know if you're winning or not. Because that's one of the problems people do is, let's say the Facebook ads, they run Facebook ads. And then they check it a couple hours later and it's not working. And they get upset, or they start changing it, or they cancel it. Sometimes it could take 3 days, 4 days of running Facebook ads to get a good sample, right? And that's where some people stop short. Some people run it too long. You've got to figure out what's important to you. What are the metrics? How long will it take for you to get reasonable ones that you can test and tweak? And then when you're running tests, you know, always testing. And then what you want is you have your standard that's working and then testing something else to see if there might be a better way.
So it's one, knowing your target audience, and second is knowing your KPIs.
Yeah. I mean, the first one, knowing your target audience, compasses lots of things in there. And then, yeah, the metrics. I mean, a lot of people just throw stuff out there and hope that it's going to work, or they don't understand the real numbers, right? Just because you get some clicks doesn't mean anything. What do you want? You want customers, but sometimes you might want clicks on your ads. And then that you can turn into something, because maybe you've got a pixel and you're going to do retargeting. You know, you've got to know the end result and the metrics. Because here's the thing, and this is just like life anyway. I mean, it's like, you know, imagine if you want to get healthy or lose weight. Stepping on the scale is great, right? And stepping on the scale to see what your weight is kind of like, you know, your, let's say the new customers that you have. But that's a lagging indicator. So that's what's already happened. Right? You can't step on the scale and measure yourself and go, okay, you know, what, you know, that's just like, okay, now what do I need to do? But your weight is a result of what you've done in the past. And so it's kind of like, how am I doing report card? Not, you know, okay, this is, I'm on the path. And so what you got to do is focus on what you're doing, which would be like eating right, exercising. Same thing with marketing. You got to focus on the key indicators that are leading up to it, not just the end results. Because if you look at the end results only, you're not going to know how you got there.
Okay. That's quite in depth. And that's easy to understand as well. I'm sure that comes out of lots of experience you have had, that you know how to explain difficult concepts with such an ease.
Well, and I've not just done marketing, I've done sales, I've helped customer service and operations. And so it's about all of that, right? So what is the problem? What is the process? And then how do we know if we're winning even before the game is over? Because a lot of people just want to look at the scoreboard when the game is over, right? Which is the sale or the click or, you know, somebody buying from you. But you got to know how you're doing in the game. You can't just like turn off the scoreboard in the game and then hope you're doing well. And at the end, okay, how did I do today? It's like, no. You've got to know how you're doing so you can adjust, right? So if you think about that with any sport, there's a scoreboard and then there's some point where you're adjusting, whether there's a halftime or in between periods or breaks, or it's like, okay, we're losing. This is why we're losing. We need to adjust here. That's your KPIs, is the score during the game, so you know if you're going to win or not.
Okay. So since your forte is selling, how would you start to the selling process? What would be the prerequisites for a new product that's about to enter a market, which is saturated with what I would say competitors? Like, okay, you have some USP, but you also have competitors in the broad field.
Yeah. I think that first part is what you just said, the USP, right? The unique selling proposition. What makes you unique? What makes you special? Sometimes there isn't much. Sometimes you're doing something that's very similar to what others are doing. And if that's the case, you're going to be a commodity and it's going to be hard for you to differentiate yourself. And then what's going to happen is you're going to probably only be able to win either based on relationships and people who like you and are willing to buy from you or hire you for your service, or you're going to have to cut your prices because you're going to get into a price battle. So when you're not very unique, it just comes down to commodity. Think about, you know, something in the store, in a grocery store, where it's like, okay, there's option A, option B. They're pretty much the same. I don't understand the difference. I'm going to go with B because it's cheaper, because I just don't care, right? It's a sponge. A sponge is a sponge. I don't care, right? And so that's what happens when you don't have very much unique kind of differentiation and what makes you special. My guess is for most people who are starting a business that has a chance of being successful long-term, there's something unique. There's something different. There's something special. Going back to what I said, you want to figure out the problem you're solving, or the service you're providing, or the benefit to the other person. Could be time savings, could be money savings, could be value, could be ego. It could be, you know, something they can brag about. It totally depends, right?
So as you mentioned, there are different verticals in marketing, branding, storytelling, networking, sales, and copywriting also is a part of it, I believe. Then social media marketing and different. If a person has to choose only one, if you have to say that, okay, which one is the most important, what would your take be?
The one that's most important is the one that you're best at. And I know that sounds like a weak kind of answer, but it's true.
I agree. I'm a fan of Bruce Lee. And so the one you're best at, I do not fear the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once. I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times. So yeah, 100%. I'm in line with you.
Yeah. And there's examples of all of it, right? This is where the self-awareness piece comes in. What are you naturally good at? What do you enjoy? What can you make as a great craft? And then use that as the vehicle for getting out your messaging, for your branding, for your marketing, finding your target audience. And you can make it successful, but you've got to figure it out. I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk says it all the time. It's like, you know, for him, he's a video person. He's not a reader. He's not a writer.
Okay. Well, that does give a direction to someone who has selected a field. Okay, this is what I'm really interested in. On the other hand, if you have a person who just, you know, like the marketing and all aspects of it, and aims at having a career in marketing, but does not have any specific skill, then what or which one skill would you suggest him or her to master or work towards first?
So I would say one of the biggest things, if you're in marketing or you want to get in marketing and you don't have a skill or a great skill or superpower in any of those, right? Copywriting, video, graphic design, whatever that might be, then again, self-awareness, figure out A, why do you want to be in marketing if you're not good at marketing, right? And that's not in a mean way, but like, okay, why do you want to be in marketing if you actually don't, you're not good at any of the marketing? And the answer to that, which I've seen a lot of times, is there's people who get into that kind of a role. And what they are is they're a really good project manager and they're a really good leader and a really good manager of things. And so they, what they do is they get into that role. They're not good at copywriting, but here's the thing. You can always find somebody to do those other things and probably really well. And so there's a lot of people who become marketing directors or marketing managers, and it's not that they can create the ads. It's that they know how to take what the company needs or the vision, turn it into a marketing strategy, and then find the players, right? So they're the coach on the sidelines for the match.
Wow. So the person with no evident special skill is actually the puppet master. He's the one managing and strategizing it now.
If they have a good skill at that. So that's, again, where self-awareness, because not just because you don't have the other things doesn't make you a good manager. You have to be a good manager and a good leader that people want to follow. And you have to be able to translate that vision into a strategy and the goals and then the KPIs. Some people can do that. Some people can't. But if you love marketing and you have that skill, the skill of leadership and managing and project management and getting things done, then that might be the spot for you.
Okay. So that actually gives a lot of clarity on the topic. All right. On the other hand, if you have someone, a student who is about to graduate as a marketing guy, like bachelor's in marketing or master's in marketing, then how should that person go around if they want to take a job in marketing or if they want to have a freelance career in marketing? It could be both. So I think the path they should take for either career should vary. What's your take on it? And how should one proceed with either?
I think the key first is enough self-awareness when you're graduating college to know what you're good at and what you like. So there's part of that. You want to know enough of that, right? So again, are you really like video? Do you really like audio? Do you really like typing? Do you like the behind the scenes operational stuff, like building the websites or running the Facebook ads? Like, what is it that you like enough? And also be open to, like, we're talking about somebody who's in their 20s, being open to not knowing everything, and who knows what else you might like that you don't currently know. So what I would say is start with the self-awareness. What is it that you like the most? Try to get a job doing that, and then be open to trying lots and lots of things. I mean, that's really the key for life, for success, is trying as many things as you can to figure out what it is that you like to do. If you're in marketing, here's the fun thing, is that you graduate with your marketing degree or you want to do freelance, but you go out there in the world, you get a job doing what you want, and then you have all this extra time after work where you can try other things. And people always want help with marketing. So I'm sure you have a friend or family member or somebody that wants some help, even if it's free, just to help with your portfolio, where you can experiment. You can try things. You can figure out, okay, like I'm actually really good at video editing, and I really like doing that. So maybe that's the way I want to go. Trying lots of things and being okay with failing and realizing, like, nope, I suck at that, or I'm not good at that now. I just need to get better. I need to practice more, you know, and work on my craft.
Yeah, that's a really interesting take if you want to pursue a freelancing career in marketing, because, well, that way you're putting yourself in front of potential customers and showcasing a portfolio of successes. On the other hand, if you have to go for an interview in marketing, would it be the same path, or should you have a different path if you want to have a job in some established organization or a decently established startup that is ready to pay?
So it depends on what the role is. How entry level? Are they looking for someone to just come in, has a degree, who has a bunch of, you know, school knowledge, and then they're going to teach that person? Or are they looking for someone who's done it and has had experience? And so in that case, and for myself in hiring marketing people so many times over the years, what I care most about is the portfolio. What I care about is what they're doing. So if they do video editing, or if they're going to help me with videos or producing videos or running, you know, let's say ads for videos, okay, show me all the ones that you've done. I want to see what you've done because I want to know that you're coming with some experience and some skills, right?
Well, it's like my mind is going boom.
Well, which I love, right? The one of the things I really appreciate about you is that you're so curious and you just want to know, and you have such great questions. It's like, okay, so how, and how does this work, and putting the pieces together? And you know, I know that for you, you're just going to take these things personally, and then you're going to experiment and try them out and see what works. And I think that's what's important too, is you've got to figure out what works. Because again, there is no textbook. There's no playbook. There's no, I have to run these ads for this kind of business to do this kind of thing. And what I'll tell you, and this is for you as a friend, mm-hmm. and then also for anyone listening, is always focus on the long term. Always focus on patience, right? It's tough because a lot of people, especially in this day and age, want instant results. And I'm a bit older than you. And, you know, most people like my age will say, okay, it's the younger generation. They just want instant gratification. They want everything now. And it's all because of the internet. It's like, no, even me, I don't want to wait for anything either. Like, I want everything now. And so for you and for everyone else, like, also be patient. Life is very long and there's a lot of opportunity. And so what you want to do is just keep working towards it. Don't focus on overnight success, you know, people who seem like they got rich quick. Like, that isn't a thing. If you find out any successful person's story, you'll see like they did it for a long time. They probably failed a bunch of times and then they got there. So just play the long game.
Yeah. Actually, do tell me about your book and how to reach out to you if someone wants to connect with you or learn with you or work with you.
Yeah. So like we talked about early on, I mean, my bachelor's degree is in marine biology. I tagged sharks for years. I worked at Microsoft because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Did that for a couple of years. Then I fell into sales. And so the book is called Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker. And really what I saw, especially in sales leadership, and then now as a consultant, is that a lot of people end up in sales. They don't really know if they want to be good at it. They usually don't get enough training, not enough management, not enough coaching. And then they're kind of left on their own. And they end up being order takers, especially because a lot of times what happens is before someone gets into sales, they usually have bad experiences as a customer where somebody tricks them and manipulates them or pushes them or is aggressive, and they don't like that. So when they become a salesperson, they vow, like, I don't want to do that to somebody else. So I'm just going to be the nice guy. I'm going to give you the options and hope that you buy. And that usually leads to most people failing in sales, thinking sales is bad and doesn't work, and then running away from it. And I think that there's a way to be effective, and I call it authentic persuasion, which is, you know, self-awareness, but also sales strategies and fundamentals. And then when you do that, you can make a shift and you treat sales completely different. So the book is available on Amazon, hardcover, Kindle. You can also go to my site, authenticpersuasion.com, where it's available directly. So
it's actually really great, and I'm so thankful you gave me so much of your time.
You are welcome, sir. Anytime, my pleasure.